We're going to revert to Senate File 1472, Senator Kubley. Senator Kubley.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Members, this bill was heard late in the Agriculture Committee yesterday, and so, but it needed to be referred to this committee. Senator Kubley.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Senate File 1472 deals with an extension of the sunset provision for open-air swine lagoons. You know, we had intended to ask for a permanent ban on them, and I think the pork producers were supportive of that, but there is some technology out there that is looking at escape from lagoons, and might be a renewable source of energy for those units. So, you know, they had asked for a period of 5 years, and that's basically what this bill does, Mr. Chair and members.
Okay. Any questions?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Fredrickson.
Did we adopt? Oh, we don't have to adopt it.
No.
Mr. Chairman, I move that Senate File 1472 be recommended to pass and referred to the floor.
Like any bill, we are going to lay this over for inclusion in our omnibus bill. So if there aren't any questions.
Mr. Chairman, did you want to make that motion? Since your omnibus bill is leaving today, did you want to just make the motion to put it into the amendment?
Sure, that would be appropriate since we've already drafted up the working document.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that Senate File 14, the contents of Senate File 1472 be incorporated into the document SCS 1312A-1.
And Mr. Chairman, Senator Fredrickson, I think the way to do that would be delete everything up to line 1.6 on the document you have in front of you, and just amend SCS 13128-1, and then page 71 after line 26 insert, and it'll be a new section 5.
Mr. Chairman, that would be my motion.
Those of you coming in, this is Senate File 1472, Senator Kubley's bill. That was passed late in agriculture yesterday. Any discussion on the Fredrickson motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Okay, then we will revert back to Senate File 1312, the A1 amendment. Is there further discussion? Mr. Saxog.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have an oral amendment. It just deals with a couple of words. It's Article 2, Section 9, Subdivision 4.
Page?
14.
Okay. Line what?
Line 14.5.
Okay.
Substitute the word may for the word shall. Then it would be more consistent with subdivision 2.
That is a weird inconsistency.
What was it?
Do you recall what the committee, which version the committee passed?
We're dealing with subdivision 4 and subdivision 2.
That they gave you.
Okay.
This is the DNR suggested language.
Which language did this committee pass?
Well, Mr. Chairman, this is DNR-suggested language to what, different than what the committee laid over. The committee has not passed it, but laid over in your bill, 1538.
Yeah. All right.
And this was some suggested language that you asked about, including some changes the DNR was asking for in that. And I think this was just an oversight on their part to
Yes, to May.
To have the word shall in one place and may in the other place.
It wants to be may in both places or one place?
Yeah. Both places.
No, okay, all right.
Just the first name.
All right, okay. Right. So this, to clarify, this committee passed the that the commissioners shall designate traditional areas. I don't know where the may came from on page 13.
Mr. Chairman, that was part of the suggested language from the Department of Natural Resources.
Oh, it was, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Well, that's a drafting error on my part. Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I assume Senator Saxog is going to speak to his amendment, but I guess I'll just ask the question. What is the concern? It sounds like Senator Saxog is concerned about traditional areas. I'm wondering what, and this clearly softens the language and makes it optional. I'm wondering what the concern is.
Senator Saxog.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Senator Dibble. There's very little question with the work that's being going on in terms of the state forests and the inventories that are being done, that traditional or non-motorized or, you know, whatever you wish to call them, areas are being set aside in every forest. So rather than and in fact the state forests where there isn't any ATV use at all, no motorized use at all. So I guess what I'm, as we did in the first article, subdivision 2, I'm just asking for a little bit more flexibility on the part of the DNR in terms of the classification.
In a sense, the DNR is doing this anyway, but not the way we are saying. They might be doing parts of it. They might be doing it in a completely different way. But what we're saying in here is we are prescribing the some of the parameters surrounding a traditional area. And if you go from shall to may, then all of these parameters just become suggestions. And one of the important parts of the ATV bill that I had in it was the traditional areas. This is from the bill that I had. That was a compilation of interests between environmental groups and ATV clubs. And we were able to avoid a lot of historical consternation over ATVs this session because we were able to achieve a balance on ATV policy in that bill. And so I want to continue to retain that balance. This is how these the floor fights, this is how the public meetings in arenas, this is how political divides are created when you just look to say, well, we're going to go our way and we're not going to take into account anyone else's way. And it's someone's choice. It's your choice. You're free to do that. But if we have people who can step in, show some leadership, and listen to what people are saying, and come up with bills that create compromises, that avoid the wars that we have seen in the past, I think those are things that we ought to do. Now, we did a lot of things for ATV clubs, and those are things that I propose. We created an ambassador program. And we created a balanced ambassador program. Remember, ATV clubs wanted a peer ambassador program, money to the clubs, and we balanced that out and included environmentalists. On the traditional areas, remember, environmentalists want 50% or more designated in our state forest to become traditional areas. In my bill, I said, no, we're going to leave flexibility to the DNR to make those determinations. But we are going to have some form of traditional areas. What the amendment does is weaken that. And it weakens the balance that I created in my ATV bill. And if folks are okay with that, and if we're, if it's okay to unravel a balance that we spent a lot of time trying to achieve, that's members' choice. But I can tell you that I don't want to go back to those late night floor fights. I don't want to go back to the difficult and uncomfortable scenes that we had in this committee. I think we created a good bill, and if we have to have a certain areas of our state forest, the vast majority are going to be the be able to ride your ATV on trails. If there's some portions of our forest that are for traditional purposes, I think that's okay. Senator Olson, you had your hand on.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Senator Saxog, were you changing both the shell to May, so it would be May in both cases? Is that what you're
Mr. Chair, yes, Senator Olson.
Well, Mr. Chair and Senator Saxog, if the commissioner is already doing this, and that's, you know, it doesn't, this doesn't say how much or how many or anything else, is there really any damage to having it that they shall designate some areas to be traditional and just leave it at that? Or is, do you feel that they would go, that the DNR would go hog wild and put too much in there? Or
Well, Mr. Chair, Senator Olson, I guess if there's May the 1st and that was worked out with the DNR, and the second May, I guess, is, I just don't feel is that big a deal. I mean, I think it's, it adds the flexibility, as they say, that I think we ought to have.
To clarify, Saxog, excuse me, Senator Saxog. Sorry. The May that you'll find on 13.31 is a drafting error on my part.
Well, Mr. Chair, it was my then that's my mistake, because my understanding was that in discussions with the DNR that was one of the things you decided would be a something.
There were several things. That was not one of them. Further discussion, Saxog Amendment. Senator Stump.
I'm just curious on, you know, on these traditional areas. I think that the DNR is, at least up in our area, is doing a good job in trying to designate trails and stuff. On a traditional trail, is it, and I know in some of the areas like the Consolidated Conservation Land and some of those areas, they have been designating walking paths, like for people to walk. But under this, we're not excluding four-wheel drive vehicles. We're just excluding ATVs in a traditional area. How is that,
Senator Stumpf? In some instances, actually, there's even flexibility within the traditional areas under this proposal. You would be able to. You'd be able to use ATVs on forest roads under this proposal, and then for you know, personal uses. If your residence, for example, is in a traditional area, you would be able to.
So, like clause 3, Mr. Chairman, no hunting or trapping using an off-highway vehicle is allowed. These restrictions are subject to exemption by such and such a permit. Like for deer hunting up in, let's say, some of the forest areas, how does that work? And maybe you can explain, is the exemption by permit under 84.926 subdivision 1, is that a permit that the DNR would give and say, yes, you can take your ATV, let's say, to go back to your deer stand, or yeah. Is that how that works?
Senator Stump, yes.
Okay, so it would be open.
And keep in mind, Senator Stump, you could even use, under this provision, you could even use a forest road with an ATV. If it's,
it doesn't exclude forest roads, then?
Correct.
So, Mr. Chairman.
It specifically includes them.
Clause 1.
Yeah, page 13, the last two lines.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Olson.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, looking at this again, in some respects, it might make more sense to reverse the maze and the shells that on subdivision 2 do as you had, where you said it was a drafting error, that they shall designate those and let the other one go to May, because that is the flexibility he's talking about. They may do it in forests, whether they're classified as limited or managed. So there's flexibility there, but in the first case that they are designating some areas, but then they would have flexibility to do it in different types of areas. The commissioner would.
Mr. Chair, maybe that was the drafting errors. He got the two flipped around.
Yeah. No, I think I had it shall in both. The committee passed it. The committee version that passed had shall in both.
It did.
I've got it right here.
Senator Gosel says she's got it right there.
So, Mr. Chair, what would be the problem with it? If they are, in fact, going to designate traditional areas, of having the commissioner have flexibility to do it in forests regardless of their classification?
I suppose you could.
What is achieved differently? You're requiring that they're going to... I'm not sure what shell does there that may wouldn't in the second case. Clearly, shell is going to make a difference in the first case.
Ms. Baker. But
Mr. Chairman, have the changes, the many changes that were suggested by DNR in a document too complicated to even pass out. But I think that the sentence originally read in subdivision 4 in how it passed this committee, the commissioner shall designate traditional areas in each state forest, whether classified as limited, closed, or managed. So what the DNR's edit was to take out the word each and the word closed. So previously, this, as it passed the committee, the commissioner would have had to designate traditional areas in each state forest, no matter what the classification. As it reads now, the shall is really kind of neither here nor there. What they took out was the requirement that there be a designated traditional area in each forest. And so now it's he can do it in forest, but not each forest.
Well, so Mr. Chair and Ms. Baker, it's what you're really saying in that second one is that the commissioner is now limited to designating traditional areas in limited or managed classified forests.
So, Mr. Chair, Senator Olson, closed forests are traditional. I mean, for all practical purposes.
So that's what what closed means.
Yeah. Well, they're virtually the same thing. There's no writing.
still trying to understand the meaning of that line.
Mr. Chair and members, this isn't a limiting edit at all. It was before they had to designate a traditional area in each state forest. Okay, so maybe already closed, they took that out because that means traditional, but they in every limited or managed, they would have had to. The way the edit is now, they have to, but there's no requirement that every single solitary forest have a designated traditional area. So they can, it gives them more flexibility, doesn't require.
Chairman Baker, I guess if by December 30th the commissioner shall, if you were going to go shall there, designate state forest traditional areas, what difference, why do we have that classification? I mean, it's almost a meaningless statement. If closed is already traditional,
yes,
and you're saying that they're going to designate it in the other categories, okay, well,
I completely agree.
That sentence that has no meaning. It doesn't
right.
add any clarity to it.
Mm-hmm.
Then the issue is over whether the first one should be may or shall.
I agree with you. I don't. The way that sentence is edited, it doesn't. It's neither here nor there. But the issue with the first sentence is that it passed with shall, and you didn't realize that they had changed that when you authorized these edits to come in.
Right. So we need to address the each word as well?
Yeah.
I hate to stir the pot, but maybe I should just move it. Maybe it goes further than is. It's to move to delete 14, line 5 and 6. And then you can go back and fight over the 13, 31, and 32.
Yeah, we don't have it yet.
Okay, but that, I mean, is there, could, unless you can explain to me why it is important that that sentence be in there and what it actually does.
You're saying that it's duplicative to have both.
It doesn't clarify anything. It doesn't add anything.
Senator Saxog,
do you want to offer that, or shall I?
No, I would. I'd be happy to, Mr. Chair, Senator Olson. So what you're saying is, I moved to lay the other amendment on the table, and at this particular time,
withdraw
okay,
your
I'll
amendment.
I'll draw the amendment temporarily and move that lines 14.5 and 14.6 be deleted.
Okay. People understand that?
You're okay with that, Mr. Chair?
Fine. That's duplicative. We will have to make that change on the other page, too. Right. Right.
Now, which one are we doing? 16, 5, and 6?
It's a shell.
That's okay.
Senator
Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd be interested in your view. Does this continue to push the compromise that has already been achieved?
I think if we adopt Senator Saxog's amendment, that's fine, but we would also have to, on the previous page, on line 31, change may to shall.
Have them offer that as an amendment to the amendment.
And I guess if you wanted to offer that as an amendment to the amendment, you could do that too.
Well, I would offer that as an amendment. I don't know if Senator Saxhog is amenable to that or not, but you know, I think the points you made earlier, Mr. Chair, are good, that you know, the original proposal was to designate 50% of each forest as traditional.
At least 50%.
Yeah. So this is a significant compromise from there. Also striking within the larger discussion of, you know, how we balance ATV and OHV use, you know, against all the other concerns that are out there. I think you've done a pretty good job, actually, too good a job, in my opinion, you know, overall, you know, and you know, so I find it interesting that it's never good enough, that it's always, there's always more, you know, always continue to get knocked back. The negotiation is never, you know, it's never good enough around here on these things.
And to be honest with you, in all of my discussion with the clubs, they're fine with this. You know, they had some.
Apparently, they're not.
They had
Chair.
Some issues with. I have not. I've been in constant contact with the clubs. I mean, they're.
Well,
they had.
They're in contact.
They had
with
a little.
Not
they had a problem with the 50% or more problem. We accommodated that, and but I have not heard since. In fact, all of my listening sessions, there was all around support for having some area of a forest, you know, a quiet zone or a heritage or traditional area. That's what we've got here.
Well, Mr. Chairman,
Senator Olson.
My suggestion on removing that has nothing to do with trying to back off on traditional areas. It's just that I think it doesn't add anything to.
No, that
my
that
point was to the shall.
That pertains to the mayor shall on page 13.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I know.
Right.
Well, Mr. Chair, I just soon have them as two different, separate amendments, but it's fine. I'm fine with, certainly with Mr. Dibble, Senator Dibble. They say they call you your last name.
All right, so Senator Saxhog is agreeable to Senator Dibble's amendment, but he would like to keep them separate. So on the Senator, on the Saxhog amendment, if everyone understand that. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. The amendment's adopted. So, Senator Dibble.
Mr. Chair, I move on line 13.31. We change the word may to the word shall.
Everyone understand that?
How are you with that?
I agree
with
this.
Bill.
Yeah,
how
I agree with
how
this.
How is the department with it?
Any further discussion?
Mr. Chairman, are we sure the department is okay with it?
Senator Pariseau, we've heard all the testimony.
It's on May.
And I think the department would probably prefer May over shall, as any department probably would. Further discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Amendments adopted. Further discussion on the A1. Senator Sarah?
I want to go back to the wetlands. on page 62, and I'd like to ask for an explanation of that clause D. What I don't understand is really that first sentence, that board shall develop rules that address the application and implementation of exemptions. I guess I don't know what that actually means. The remaining part, you know, the providing for the estimates and reporting of exempt wetland impacts, that's certainly easy enough to understand, but what's the meaning of that first part?
Council, can you decipher?
Well, Mr. Chair, it seems to me that this is allowing them to explain the application implementation of exemptions, put them in the rules, the rulemaking we were talking about before, instead of just straight putting the statutory changes in there as we talked about going a little beyond. Putting in their advice or a little bit beyond just the straight objective role. That's
some water. So this is
what it allows here. This thing ties in.
All kinds of water laws pulled together into one.
So, Mr. Chairman and Senate Counsel, does that modify Section 13?
I don't believe so, Mr. Chair. This Section 13.
I mean, the board already, Mr. Chairman, the board already has rules. And I guess that's what, one of the reasons why I do not understand why this clause D is in there.
Mr. Chair, Senator Stumpf, you're asking is why do they need this on page 62 and
correct
if they have this?
Is there?
I'm not sure.
Did we delete
if that's something they?
I mean,
Mr.
Chairman, we talked about the rulemaking in Section 13, and we talked about the flexibility of the wetland replacement and banking provisions, and have given them the authority, whether it's different than the authority they currently have, maybe a little bit different, but then we go back here and we say the board shall develop rules that address the application and implementation. I'm not sure. I guess I don't understand that the purpose of that.
Actually, neither do I. I think counsel indicated that it was meant to explain the implementation of application. So if we need to change address to explain or some other word, we can do that.
Can I move to just, well, I just moved to delete that section.
Well, you had said that providing for estimates and reporting of exempt wetland impacts was okay, and that makes sense, and I think we need to do that. I think that that's a substantive provision that we need to do.
Mr.
So maybe if you delete after the word on line 4, after the word rules, the remaining new language, and on 5, of exemptions and.
Exemptions.
Could you repeat that, Mr. Chairman?
On line 4, delete that address the application and implementation. And on line 5, delete of exemptions and. So that part about you're saying you didn't understand about addressing the application and implementation of exemptions, that would be out. But the issue of estimates and reporting rules regarding those would remain.
Okay.
You want to move that?
I would. I personally think that the board has the authority right now under rules, and so I don't really know why we're giving them more. It's actually not more authority. It would be interesting, but I.
It's telling what to do.
Pardon?
It's telling what to do.
Oh, yeah. I guess that's true. So I think deleting that would certainly improve it.
Okay. Everyone understand that amendment? Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Amendment's adopted.
Mr. Chairman, just on the remaining part, and this I think goes to Senator Dill's, if we have a provision for estimating and reporting exempt wetland impacts, can we include or should we include wetlands that are created in that same
within WACA?
Right. I mean, just that I mean, we've seen sheets around here from Bowser that says that we've lost so many wetlands, and we've seen sheets around here that says that we've gained so many wetlands. I mean, if we're going to do a system of analysis, we should have, I think, all of the information.
Sure.
And I'm not sure I'd yield to my good friend Senator Dill too.
Senator Stumpf, 2 points. I did not hear through this discussion that there was a lack of information on wetlands we were replacing. So I think we have that information, what we do as required by WACA. If we don't, I would certainly agree to counting that too. Now, the issue was, this has been the source of discussion in previous committees, how do we count wetlands that we create? And before we recessed, Senator Dill indicated that he was working on an amendment. I don't know if that's something he's prepared to present today, but in my testimony, I have indicated that that's something I think we should do, but we just need to make sure we do it correctly. Yeah. No, I don't have any problem with that. Senator Dill.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, members, I don't have the amendment ready as I think it should be for – I'm not sure if you're referring to the no net loss issue and how that is calculated and so on. I had a version ready, but I'm not going to offer it because I think we need some more time to flesh it out and make sure we got it right. But I do have another amendment for this section of the bill, I think. I got to double-check with Mr. Knopf on it. But if Senator Stumpf is done with his, I've got another one here that deals with wetlands.
Was that it for that section, Senator? Okay. Senator Dill?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I have the A-10 amendment. And
did
this
we pass this? Did we vote on this one?
Yes.
All right, sorry.
The A-10 amendment simply says that if you create or restore a wetland using your own money, no public money, you can take the wetland out if you want. And I talked to Senator Chaudhary about this, and he thought maybe it was already in the bill. But that's why I need to check with Mr. Knopf. Do we have anything in the language here that would take care of that?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Dill, no, there's not. The issue may be is the way the current law reads. The current law reads that if you use a wetland for a replacement plan, that it's automatically, if you restore a wetland, that the Wetland Conservation Act applies to that wetland. So it kind of implies that that if it's not done as part of a replacement plan and you've restored it, that it's not part of WACA. Or it's not, and this would kind of clarify that. It kind of does it in a backhanded way under current law, but this would clarify that.
Okay. Well, Mr. Chairman, members, most people that restore wetlands with their own money like wetlands. That's why they do it. And once they get it in there, they don't want to take it out. But nevertheless, as long as they use their own cash to do it, I just think it's all right if they want. If for some reason they need to bring it back into agricultural production or back to pasture or whatever, they should be able to do that as long as they didn't use public money.
Okay. This is Senator Anderson.
Would this apply to any size or type of wetland? Or what's the limit?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Anderson, there is no limit listed here.
The only limit is that Senator Anderson, the only limit is that this was something that the individual initiated on their own with their own money.
I understand that. I just, it's important to think about impacts on watersheds, and there could be a large impact across the boundary from their property of doing this without any other limitations. So that would concern me greatly, especially without having any guidelines for, whether it's a 10 by 10 or a mile by a mile,
I haven't met Senator Anderson. I haven't heard any of those concerns fleshed out. I think we've kind of had these discussions, and there didn't seem to be any problem with it. In fact, it seemed to make sense with most of the stakeholders. If something comes up that turns out to be a problem, we can revisit this.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Fredrickson.
Mr. Chairman, and I think, too, for a landowner that's thinking about doing this, if they realize if it doesn't work out the way they want it to work out, or if they might have to change their land use a little bit, that they could take the wetland back out, might be an inducement for them to put the wetland in place in the first place, to create the wetland, if they know that it's not absolutely permanent forever. It gives them some discretion 10, 15, 20 years down the road, or the next generation that owns the land.
And on that point, Senator Mr. Chair, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service had a program, I think they still do, where they restore wetlands, and they expect you to keep it there for at least 10 years, but you can take it out when you want to if you pay them back the cost of replacement. But after you get out to 10 years or so, it's all depreciated down to zero. Now, I had this done on my farm. They put a wetland in, and the cost of putting in was they listed on the contract as zero cost, so I could take it out any time I wanted to. So it made me feel free to put it in, because I could take it out if I needed to. And as it turned out, the wetland restoration project actually failed twice, and I spent my own money to restore it twice because the dam busted out twice. And picking up on what Senator Fredrickson said, if you feel free to put it in, take it out, you're more likely to put it in the first place. And I think that's been a selling point for that program with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. And in my own case, I've restored a number of wetlands without any trouble from the government at all. I just did it because I wanted a wetland in this location. And I just think if I put it in, I should be able to take it out.
Any other discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Amendment's adopted. Senator Stumpf?
Mr. Chairman, I agreed to offer an amendment for Senator Sharon, who can't be here. And it has to do with Section 23 on page 77. And it's to the report, the ISTS report, that she indicated that two organizations have approached her that would like to be in the circle. One is the League of Minnesota Cities, and the other one is the Coalition of Greater Minnesota Cities, that they would be added to that list. Many others are there, such as the Association of Minnesota Counties, Association of Minnesota Small Cities, Minnesota Association of Townships. And what this would do would be to add the League of Minnesota Cities, because they do have concerns that they'd like to be involved. They have municipalities that are members that are interested, and so does the Coalition of Greater Minnesota Cities.
So you're oriented again?
Do you want to move that, adding those two groups?
I would, Mr. Chairman.
Discussion, Senator Fredrickson.
Chairman, I just have one question. I certainly can see the League of Minnesota Cities being included in that, because they do have smaller cities. But I thought the Coalition of Greater Minnesota Cities was generally regional or sub-regional centers, and I question how many of those cities have ISTS systems.
You're right.
Senator Stumpf.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Fredrickson, I think from the last discussion about the whole ISTS study, there's a lot of septic systems in large municipalities that we don't really know about, even down here in the suburban areas. And so I think it would be good to at least allow them to be at the table talking about them.
You've been consulted,
isn't it? For example, Chanhassen, Chaska. I mean, those are. I don't know what organization they belong to, but
the league.
But it does indicate that larger municipalities and cities can have septic systems.
But Mr. To that point,
Senator
Mr.
Olson,
Chairman, I would think that where Greater Coalition of Greater Minnesota Cities might have some be affected is if there's annexation from townships around and portions of it that they will inherit some that's on, even on an interim basis before municipal services are provided.
That's a good point.
Further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. The amendment's adopted.
Same, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Olson.
I have an amendment.
It's a number.
Which I gave away my copy, so I can't tell you what the number is, but I think Mr. Knopf has it.
A7.
It's to Article 1 on Section 12 on page 8. It's adding a sentence that does not, it's leaving the language in place that is there, but adding this sentence to it, which is, says that the commissioner will report to the respective natural resources policy committees of the Senate and House on the proposed rule changes that are directed in the sentence that's already there, and that the rule changes must not be finally adopted until before June 1st of that year, which essentially allows that legislative session for consideration. And I think there's been a lot of attention. We spent over two separate bills talking about some of the issues that are involved with this whole process. And yet, as Mr. Knopf had pointed out, sometimes not knowing what is in the mill is a cause for fear, and we need to get that out. We should know about it. And that will just give some of that time and let the commissioner know we have interest in what is happening, both with the process and the content. So I appreciate your support.
I think this is good. Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's not to the amendment, but to the section. We can deal with the amendment first. I just had a question about the mediation services piece. I don't know if we want to take that now. Did you want to take that question now or after?
Sure.
So now that Senator Olson has drawn our attention to this section, was this your bill?
Mr. Chairman, it is not the language that's in my bill. It is what Senator Chaudhry put in to deal with the issue that was the part of my bill.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just curious about the mediation services piece. I thought using the Mediation Services Bureau, or maybe I'm mistaken, is a part of rulemaking when there's a
Senator Dibble, no.
But no.
Not necessarily.
Okay.
And I think what's intended with this kind of goes to the issue of these localities and associations being part of the process and consultation even before rulemaking begins.
Okay.
So I think that's very important, and one of the things we probably learned most through Senator Olson's bill was that there needs to be far greater communication and consultation. I think if that had been going on up to date, I think a lot of misconceptions would have been resolved.
Well, that's good. That's a good suggestion.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I think Senator Chaudhry was attempting to address it. At least it's kind of loose, that at least exploring the feasibility of using that. But
can
it's the understanding that there are stakeholder groups that need to be heard and given fair consideration to.
Right.
And that's I think is what he's addressing in the current language, and the language that I would like to add is assuring that we also have interest, we'll be paying attention to both the process and the content, and can do as we are grappling with here by law some things that we are then in turn saying you got to adjust your rules to, and that could in fact it may. I'm not prejudging because I haven't seen the proposed rules either. So we just want to say that these are issues that are important, and we will be paying attention.
It's a good amendment, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
And to be honest with you, if we want to make the language in here stronger about the use of facilitator up to rulemaking, I have no problem with that either. And we really worked when we kind of reconstituted the new LCCMR. We had a Department of Administration facilitator begin the first few meetings, and I think it was very helpful.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm well aware, as Senator Saxog is, that the Department Administration has got some tremendous talent in terms of facilitating, because we've been using that with that Governor's Conservation Legacy Council. And I'm extremely impressed as to the efforts they have of bringing a group of widely varying interests and getting totally engaged in a process. And so if there's a way that you feel this could be made stronger, I'm more than open to that as well.
All right, let's vote on your amendment, and then we can consider that. Any more discussion on the A7? All those? I'm sorry,
yeah,
Senator.
Yeah, just one question.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Senator Olson, too. To understand this, then, I have some concerns from the rural lake associations, but they will now be part of the process. Is that what we're talking about here, part of the process of the rulemaking?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Ingebrigtsen, the rulemaking is an open process with hearings, but I think a lot of what the concern that's been going on has been the actions of DNR absent knowing what the proposed rules and rule changes are. Once by getting them into that process, that has to become known, and the hearings and other kinds of things, activities that are part of that process will go on. And at the same time, I think that we also have a responsibility, because right. They are passing rules that have the force and effect of law, and as non-elected people, and we are the elected ones, and we should have oversight to that. And that's kind of what this meshes. But what Senator Chaudhry had proposed in his working with others that are concerned with this issue was that assuring that all of the stakeholders are given due consideration, and that's why the sentence using the mediation services that the Department of Administration has is in order.
Thank you.
On the A7, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Amendment's adopted. Senator Olson, council has added that if we make it stronger in terms of requiring facilitator or mediation services, there could be a cost involved. Maybe let's think about a way we can massage this so that it's stronger, but there isn't a cost. Let's think about that and, raise the issue again in a few minutes. Senator Dill?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I was just going to pick up on page 77 where Senator Stump had left off two amendments ago. Because on page 77 and 78, the Department of Agriculture contacted me yesterday and again today and asked to have the Commissioner of Agriculture added both section 24 and 25. And I believe the place to add it would be on page 77.19, after Pollution Control Agency, insert the Commissioner of Agriculture. And on line 77.33, or 77.32, at the end of the sentence, insert Commissioner of Agriculture, the Commissioner of Agriculture.
At the end of the line.
Is that right?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, you said at the end of the sentence, the end of the line.
Yeah, the end of the line, yeah.
After with.
So on the request of the Department of Agriculture, I am offering this amendment.
Okay, so the agencies who will be the gist of your amendment is that the agencies who shall report on this will be the PCA, DNR, EQB, and agriculture.
That's correct on the first one. Then on the second one, it's the PCA that does the report, but they consult with these other commissioners.
Okay, and then okay, so you want to do the same thing with the endocrine disruptor report,
right,
too.
Right.
All right.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Fredrickson.
Mr. Chairman, I support the amendment, but I need to comment on the first one on section 24. We're saying the Pollution Control Agency, DNR, and the Ag will all report to the House and Senate committees. They're all members of the Environmental Quality Board also. So I don't know why we can't just have the Environmental Quality Board do it, but
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Knopf.
I worked on that with Senator Squay, so maybe the reason it's done this way is because each agency will designate staff to be involved, and there are separate staff for the Environmental Quality Board and separate staff for those agencies. It's kind of to get them all working on it together. I mean, I know there are a lot of other members of the Environmental Quality Board, too, but this is really to get those staff involved. They had requested specific involvement.
Mr. Chairman, I did say I supported the amendment, but I just had the comment that they're all... So maybe TCA, DNR, and Ag will have a minority report for us or something.
Senator Dill, when we heard testimony on Senator Torres-Reyes' endocrine disruptor report, we didn't hear anything regarding agriculture. So could you...
Atrazine.
Was there an atrazine?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So there was something.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
I believe, Mr. Chairman, it had to do with pesticides.
Right.
Endocrine disruptors? And
yes.
Okay. Okay.
It's all different things. But includes
that makes
that.
Sense, yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Everyone understand the amendment? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. The amendment's adopted. Senator Fredrickson?
Mr. Chairman, I have an amendment that came to me, was brought to my attention rather late, so I don't have it in writing, but it's on page one to the Cuyuna recreation area. And this is something that we discussed when this bill was before us, and I don't remember if we made a change or just talked about it. But I'm going to make the change that we at least discussed when this bill was before us, and also in reading a little further, there's some very repetitive language that I'm going to take out. I'd move on page one, line 34, delete shall and insert may, so that we're not by state law directing area manager where they might be, because there undoubtedly would be some conflicts. And then after and on line 34, insert shall.
Okay.
Can you mind stating the first again, please?
Mr. Chairman, certainly. Senator Anderson. Page one, lines 34, delete shall and insert may. And that same line, after the word and, insert shall.
Shall advise.
And then on page two, line 2, delete everything after the period, delete line 3, and delete line everything through the period on line 4. And on line 4, delete advise the council and same line, delete any and insert the.
But.
And on line 5, delete the decisions, delete the decision and insert decisions affecting the recreation area. It's just removing repetitive language.
Everyone understand that? Okay, all those in favor of the Fredrickson Amendment say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. The amendment's adopted. Further discussion. Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. After that amendment, you might think we coffee too often together, Dennis and I, but that's not the case. But he said, even if I keep on the way I am, I'm actually going to make it appear that I'm reading these bills. But my first amendment would be something that was that I brought to the attention of the, I believe it was our Senator Saxhog's subcommittee meeting one evening with regards to page 46 would be Article 4. Section 25, if you would look directly at page 46, you'll see what I'm talking about, and maybe legal can help me with this. But if you look on page 46, line 19, you'll see the village of Lake Bronson in print. There's about four other Lake Bronson areas in that particular part of the bill that just refer to Bronson, not lake. The first one would be on line 29. The second would be on line 32, as well as line 46.8. 46.8. Yeah, I'm sorry, 45.8. 29, 45.32. It would be adding Lake in front of Bronson, because that is the town's name. And 46.8, add Lake to the front of Bronson. And on line 46.25, the end of add Lake just before Bronson.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Knopf.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Ingberson, I would be a little concerned about amending a legal description, especially this is unless, I don't know if you've talked with staff from the Department of Natural Resources, this was part of the original DNR bill, and they have people who developed these legal descriptions, and it may have been that the original legal description was something called Bronson at the time, but whatever's kept on record, I mean, you can go ahead and make those changes to this, but I'm always reluctant on a legal description without talking with the people who actually drafted the legal description first.
What's been the reaction from DNR on your suggestion? Will your changes reflect the legal description, or?
Mr. Chair, sure? I'm not aware of that. I just brought that up because it was brought up at that subcommittee meeting. Mm-hmm. They said they were going to handle it. I happened to be perusing through it here. I seen it was not changed. Maybe it doesn't. You know, maybe it doesn't warrant to be changed. So I'm fine with what the council is saying.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah. DNR should go back and check it.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Olson.
Yeah, would it be typical? Because in some of the same expression, it's to the park addition of the village of, in one case, it does actually, did they make a mistake and say it right once?
Yes.
I think that's
the case.
In the legal description, the official legal description. And I mean, I understand what you're saying, is that if it's addressing a specific legal description, you have to repeat it just the way it is. But nobody's answered that question as to, apparently he's brought it up two or three times, and still we haven't got an answer as to whether this is the accurate legal description or whether somebody got lazy and forgot about lakes in this business.
Is the community known as Lake Bronson?
You said you'd find out in 2 minutes.
Yes.
That is, Lake is the name of the district.
Okay, why don't we set aside the amendment for the moment?
Probably thought we had no
further discussion. Did you have something else?
Yes, I also have another amendment. The A6 amendment, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, the A6 amendment, members, the A6 amendment refers to the beginning of Article 3 of the Game and Fish, Section 1. The part that my amendment is actually asking to delete is on page 16, lines 16.1 through 16.6. Mr. Chair and members, There was a fair amount of discussion with regards to this particular part of the bill, and I know the chair has voiced his concern with me. I talked to you, to the chair, before the meeting, but I still feel that we have to bring this forward, and the reasons why I'll try and explain to you is that the bait industry in the state of Minnesota is huge, and of course you can imagine in my area, west central Minnesota, in the lakes area, as well as in Senator Scogan's area, this is a very big business for our area. And of course everybody that has lakes and that don't have minnow distributions, they actually probably, a lot of the bait does come from our area. In fact, we're talking about a business here that could affect the fishing industry, which is, there's 1.5 million fishermen in the state of Minnesota, and a $2 billion industry. I don't know that this is going to, this bill is going to bring anything to a screeching halt, but there are some issues that I have, and I guess this is why I bring them forward. In the testimony from the DNR, there was a lack of assessments on their part. At least what I heard, that the fish, even for that matter, or the bait producers, were hurting our lakes. There was no testimony to that. And of the 2,000 lakes that are being utilized now in small lakes in the state of Minnesota, there hasn't been a whole lot of additional permits. So this isn't, again, a very big issue that's affecting a whole lot of actually business folks, except the ones that have been in it for many, many years, and you heard some of them testify just the other day. The DNR, I think, has been a pretty good partner with these folks over the years, at least what I'm sensing, in for sure in the purchase of the walleye fingerling that have to be stocked in our lakes. And these fish producers, and again, that's getting a little off base because we're talking about bait here, not walleyes, but just to give you an idea that I think the relationship has been good and it continues to be good when we're purchasing an awful lot of our walleyes at the state of Minnesota for stocking. And it was also interesting to find out that lake associations actually do their own stocking, and they purchase from, of course, these fish farmers, if you will, and they can actually stock lakes that are actually owned by private people that do not have a public access, whereas I understand the DNR does not do any stocking in those lakes. So so that was, you know, that was part of the testimony we heard the other day, and with our fishing pressures, of course, that we're seeing out here, and I know we've been talking about even looking at a reduction of here I am off track here with regards to walleyes, but we're getting close to the fishing season. I think everybody's getting anxious to get out there, but what I don't want to do is I don't want to start the fishing season by having our bait dealers come up with this new law that faces that they're not able to renew their license for the areas that are supposedly covered by, as the statute reads, by the waterfall stamp proceeds that the DNR has gone out and managed. Now, I don't want to make this a duck against fishing fight, and I don't think that has been here. I think in a lot of credit due to the chair and his leadership here in controlling things and keeping it wide open. I think it's been handled very well. In fact, the Ducks Unlimited folks, who you would say obviously are the duck folks, never even came to the table. So they don't sit pretty well neutral on this because, quite frankly, a lot of those duck hunters fish. I think that's probably why. So I guess I would ask that everybody consider my amendment and support it, and I think what I've seen of the activity of the bait dealers coming to the meetings in the last couple meetings we've had here is that they're willing to work out with the DNR. I'm certainly willing to work with them. I know Senator Scogin has certainly showed some support in doing that, and I'm sure Senator Chaudhry, you do the same, to come up with something and get the DNR at least to give us some idea as to whether really the bait industry is really hurting our lakes in the first place. So I ask for the committee support on this amendment, and I would be basically deleting that clause F there.
Now this is the provision that the bait dealers said that they would agree with. The one part of my bill they said that they could agree with was this provision. The question was asked, is there any part of the bill that you would support? And I said, well, this section is probably fair that if we use dollars to through waterfall stamp proceeds to do some of this protective work, that would be fair, that we didn't have aquaculture on those.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Olson.
To that point, that is one provision, but what's the other one? If the water body was subject to any other development, restoration, maintenance under whatever this 978-75 subdivision 2,
that's what? Waterfall stamp proceeds. Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson, that's proceeds from the waterfall stamp.
They're both stamps.
They're both a migratory waterfall stamp.
So whether it was acquired or whether anything was done to restore it or maintain it with that money.
Right. Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson, that's correct.
So am I?
Senator Dill?
Mr. Chairman, members, who knows the answer to this question? How many ponds are we talking about that are affected by this stamp money?
I think DNR.
Well, Senator Dill, the testimony from the DNR was that they don't know now. that they are in the process of doing a kind of a GIS comparison of how many this might affect. But even in principle, it seems pretty reasonable that given the knowledge we know about aquaculture, that if there's dollars spent to restore a wetland or some other body of water, that that we wouldn't affect that with aquaculture. Senator Scogin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'll support this amendment, but I think the chair is right in that this was something that these groups in principle agreed to. But when I make phone calls back home, these guys are about as independent as farmers. And they think differently depending on how their operation is running. And we just have a problem creating a rule that they all can get behind, or a suggestion even. And they admit that to me. I mean, so they're concerned about this language now. And so, as I said, I will support Senator Ingebretson's amendment, but to those in the audience that represent these groups, you have to get them together and find out what it is they really want. Because we have come to a point, I think, where they can't have everything. And they're going to have to tell us what they are willing to give on. And I'll leave it at that.
Well, I guess I'm a little confused. I put this provision in because that was the testimony from the bait dealers that we just asked them, you know, is there a part of this, the aquaculture bill that I had, that you could support? And they said this was the provision, and the language is exactly the same. So I feel that this is pretty reasonable. Senator Pearsall.
And I'm not knowing the turf and where all this takes place, I'm wondering whether all the conditions on 16.5 are things that practically eliminate all. You've got development, restoration, maintenance, preservation. Those are all pretty much phases of the kinds of work that might take place under the stamp proceeds. So I'm not sure how many of those have taken place under that stamp proceeds.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Anderson. And Senator
Thank you,
Olson.
Mr. Chair. I think this issue isn't so much about restricting anybody's rights. It's about accountability of public dollars. And so it seems to me a little bit different than the rest of the discussion that we've had about the aquaculture, because, you know, if they're independent, I mean, they really just need to make a choice. Do they want to get these public dollars that are paid for by duck hunters, or do they want to use aquaculture? And, I mean, we could flip it the other way and say, if you want to get your permit, then just don't ask for any dollars for any public dollars for your to protect your land, because they're just inconsistent purposes. And so I just don't think it's a good use of public dollars. So it's an accountability issue to me. It's not about taking away their rights. It's saying, here's your choice. And if they agree to it, my goodness, members, it seems pretty reasonable if they're okay with it, that we should be as well.
Senator Olson.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if we don't know how many there are, and where it's happening, it would seem to me, and I'm not sure how many of the people that are producing the bait, it might be one thing to say that you shall not issue anymore, but to renew, they may just be out of business without having known that that's where they were, that they were in fact seeking the right to raise bait in a water body that had some of this, you know, had this provision. Somehow it would seem to me there should be a base of information that's available to all when you start that negotiation, and it doesn't sound like that's the case.
So you think?
I think maybe not renew. It's not necessarily an issue that I would have some sympathy and be willing to support removal of it if we aren't making it on a basis of some solid information when it's affecting people's livelihoods. That's kind of tough.
So you,
maybe I've missed something.
So you think issue is less problematic than renewing the license?
Well, it would be, because at that point you it would be clear if somebody was seeking it. Then if they're seeking into a new area, okay, and you now know that, that's a different case.
Okay.
But again, do we know whether, as Senator Peroso says, does this affect everything out there? So does it technically close the door to expansion or not?
Okay.
I think we're lacking some information on which to base this at this point, unless I'm misinterpreting what I'm hearing in this discussion.
Senator Fredrickson?
Mr. Chairman, I think Senator Anderson had a very good point, that this is funding integrity, account integrity. Now, this is money from basically waterfowl hunters who buy the stamps, expecting that their money's going to go for waterfowl habitat. Now, I happen to have bought a duck stamp last year, and it was campaign season. I never went out duck hunting, but I bought the stamp anyway because I knew the money was going to this account. I received my sportsman license this year, and when I bought it, I also bought the pheasant stamp and the duck stamp at the same time. And I bought that duck stamp to promote duck habitat, even though I love to fish. I'm an angler, too. But I know when I buy those stamps, it's going for that purpose. And here now, this money would rather, these funds, rather than going for duck habitat, would be going for aquaculture. And I have a problem with that.
But Mr. Chairman?
Senator Olson?
See, somebody has made, if that is the integrity, then we ought to know that, and so should people if they were applying for a permit to do the aquaculture. Why wasn't somebody, weren't there some standards in terms of determining what's acceptable that was a part of that process then? And now we're totally kind of throwing the baby out with the bathwater, without necessarily knowing, having that, some report of that accountability.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson, I would characterize it as an opportunity to right the ship.
Okay, Senator Egbertson, then Senator Stump.
Let me address the issues here. I think we're getting a little off track. The migratory waterfowl stamp proceeds are going to purchase water and also for the DNR to do business in water that's going to be conducive to the habitat of ducks. But the duck people never came and said that this was affecting them. The folks are paying permits to go in here and actually raise these minnows, and there's no testimony by the DNR, besides not knowing even how many puddles we're talking about here. So I just think it's a little soon. And getting back to who's telling the truth here, that, as Senator Scogin said, he is getting a different slant from the bait dealers, as you are, and now I am. But I'm not here. I'm not here creating this kind of work for this committee because I'm being told something different. We're very concerned with the raising of minnows. That's a very big part of their business, let alone folks. We're going to be coming upon a fishing season here, and we could potentially be looking at some very expensive gas as well as minnows. And I don't know that we want to get into that without a little more study on the side of the DNR, I think, and these groups getting together and just figuring out just exactly what, if we even have problems with our waters.
Senator Dibble.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Just an observation. It seems that in this instance and an instance that we debated earlier, various interests are saying different things to different members on this committee and saying different things than the full committee is led to believe when the testimony occurs. So it's just an observation, and I would just urge caution to those folks who are listening in this room and elsewhere that doesn't bode well for our ability to move towards resolution and consensus and good policy that works for folks. It creates the kind of acrimony that you were describing earlier. So, we just need to put our cards on the table and tell folks what our interests are and where we want to go with stuff, and then we can start a good faith negotiation. But if we're whispering different things to different people in our ears and then it gets plopped down in the middle of this table, it's not good for the process, not good for the debate.
Senator Stump, you had your hand up.
Well, just quickly, I remember the testimony of this one bait person that talked about how his operation actually clarified the water because he didn't like those. I mean, whatever they took out, if it was the minnows that they took out, actually made the water clearer.
Right.
Because with dirty water, the minnows don't do so well. And so then the ducks would come back.
Well, that's right. That's right. So there are certainly instances where having aquaculture in a pond can help clear the water. That's the goal, at least for good duck habitat, is the clear water, the not turbid water. So what we're talking about in this provision is water that has been restored to that clarity using waterfall stamp money, and we just don't want they don't want that ruined. So yeah, it can happen, but in this instance, you are starting from clear water, and that's we're trying to prevent the turbidity when these waterfall stamp dollars have gone to create that.
This only applies to minnows.
Oh, and this would only apply to minnows, and not walleyes. And if you recall, fathead minnows are naturally occurring, and so this would only really, in essence, and the big only effect would be on white sucker minnows. There are some others, gold shiners and others, smatterings of those, but and again, they would only apply to waterfall stamp dollar bodies of water. Senator Dill, and then Senator Ingebrigtsen, then we should vote.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I don't know if this is a good idea or a bad idea, but it's an idea. And the idea is to not pass this amendment as presented, but to change it and do this instead. On line 16.1, delete the words "or renew A" and insert the words "a new license but shall renew an existing." So it reads, "A commissioner shall not issue a new license but shall renew an existing license to raise minnows." And that's just sort of a compromise position to say we're not going to allow any more of these to be used that are supported with waterfall stamp proceeds, but at least if there's somebody doing business in one of them right now, they can keep on doing it. And the other thought maybe would be just to put a provision in here to say this is repealed within a year or 2 years or so we can revisit it in a year or two. And just an idea. Now, I don't know what you think of it, but...
Well, this would go along the lines of Senator Olson's remarks. I don't know if there was a suggestion, but you had discussed this.
It was an idea.
Senator? Okay. So that's a suggestion from Senator Dill. We're still on the Ingebrigtsen Amendment. Senator Ingebrigtsen. You had your hand up.
Sorry. Would you clarify that for me one more time, Senator Dill?
Well, in line 16.1, you would delete the words "or renew A." Insert the words "a new license," but shall renew an existing.
Shouldn't it be may renew?
So basically, Senator, that the existing bait dealers then would be able to continue their business, just not any new licenses will be issued.
Right.
In these type of...
In
these entities.
That's right.
I thought about that. I mean, that would be a...
Sunset? That's what Senator Dill suggested.
Okay, is he saying the year thing or 2 year? I think that's probably a good idea, too. I mean, I think this is an issue. And I want to, if I could, just address Senator Dibble's comment about whether we're getting our story straight or not here. This is my story, and I'm sticking to it. I've been after this since day one. As you know, Mr. Chair, it's been an issue since it came up, and I and my constituents have not changed at all. But I do appreciate the work that's being done here, and that's certainly a friendly amendment. What will we talk about for a year or 2 years? Is that what you'd want to do? Or?
Well, I don't know.
What would be the...
Well, I don't know what's appropriate.
Maybe by then we could probably get the DNR to come up with some figures and some numbers for us exactly as to how many lakes we're talking about and things like that. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, maybe Mr. Knopf has got some suggestions.
Well, Mr. Chairman,
if you wanted, I mean, you could just delay it out a year. Right now, I think the way this is, it'd be August 1st of this year when it would take effect. If you wanted 1 year, August 1st, 2000, you could just say until August 1st, 2008, the commissioner shall not issue. And Senator Dill, the way you'd characterize that earlier, they shall renew. I don't know if you wanted to. That might be stronger than what they have under current law, because I think they'd have the discretion in certain instances to not renew. What you may want to do is just delete or renew on line 16.1 and after insert new. So I'd say it would read until August 1, 2008, the commissioner shall not issue a new license to raise minnows in a water body and so on.
Basically what you're saying, Senator Dill.
Yeah. Okay, that's fine.
Mm-hmm. Senator Anderson.
Mr. Chair, I think this brings to mind that we need some real science here, too. You know, we can listen to all the people who have an interest in this one way or the other, but we really need to hear the science. I want to know, is it really hurting the waters or not? And if it is, then we shouldn't be doing it at all. If it isn't, well, you know, we should...
I think we heard the science, and the science indicated that the issue is complex. So their DNR was trying to work out practical solutions to a complex problem and just kind of hasn't done that yet. So I'm wondering, Senator Ingebrigtsen, can we put in there that the DNR shall report on recommendations for aquaculture by January 1st, 2008? Next year?
Remember that there's a combination of agencies involved.
January
15th.
January
15th. Just DNR.
If they can do it in that time frame, if you think they can get it done in that time frame, I guess that would certainly be.
Well, if you remember their testimony, they were planning on doing it for this session.
Okay.
So this would just say, okay, for sure by next session.
There's a multiplicity.
That they should come up with a report.
So basically, Mr. Chair, getting back to the amendment, then that the dealers will be able to continue that are doing it right now until January 15, 2008. And at that point in time, then what's going to happen? We're going to review it again,
I mean, this would, under that suggestion, this provision would drop off the books. But I'm suggesting to add, in addition, a possible friendly amendment to have the DNR report on recommendations, policy recommendations regarding aquaculture by that time as well.
That'd be fine.
Well, I don't even know what a SOAR is. I know what a rail is.
Yeah, I've heard of the rail.
Do you understand that?
Yes, I've already written that.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
So are there any questions? And that would be in that would substitute your motion to delete section 1.
You get to withdraw.
Yes.
Okay. Council's recommending that you just withdraw that motion and move the suggested motion regarding the deletion of renewal, sunset, and the report.
And Mr. Chairman, Mr. if you Knopf? Want, I can read what the report language would say.
Okay.
So what the amendment to this would be is on 16.1, as I mentioned earlier, until it would before the first insert until August 1, 2008, comma, and then delete or renew or before license, insert new, and then after the period on 16.6, by January 15, 2008, the commissioner shall report to the Senate and House of Representatives committees on environment policy. Recommendations to continue or expand the restrictions under this paragraph.
All right. Everyone understand that? Senator Fredrickson.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to go on record as opposing it, so I'd like a roll call vote, please.
Okay.
I don't think it's appropriate to avert the intended use of stamp monies, and I think that's what this amendment would do.
Interesting. You mean regarding the renewal of licenses?
Chairman, no, I'm just opposing the amendment.
Which amendment? Senator Ingebrigtsen's original amendment?
No, the one that's just...
Oh, okay.
Chairman, the one that's before us.
But we are restricting the use of waterfall money. under this amendment?
Mr. Chairman, less of a restriction than is in law now.
Okay.
Or than be in the bill before us.
Okay, that is true.
That's true.
Okay, and you would like a roll call?
Yes.
All right. Any other discussion? Everyone understand the amendment? Yep. Senator Ingebrigtsen, I think you make some very valid points. One of them is that we're not sure if this really does, aquaculture does affect duck populations. And if there was a certainty that it did, there would be a whole lot more camo in this room.
Exactly.
But I think this is not an issue about solely about ducks. It's about how we affect our water. So, if there's no further discussion, the clerk will take the roll. The chair votes yes.
Senator Anderson?
No.
Senator Dibble?
Yes.
Senator Dill?
Yes.
Senator Fredrickson?
No.
Senator Ingebrigtsen?
Yes.
Senator Olson?
Yes.
Senator Pearsall?
Yes.
Senator Saxhog?
Yes.
Senator Sharon is... Senator Sieben? Senator Scogin?
Yes.
Senator Stumm?
Yes.
Senator Vickerman?
Yes.
There being 11 yeses and 2 noes, the amendment, the motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Senator Dill?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I have an amendment that deals with Greenleaf State Park, and Mr. Knopf has got copies of the amendment.
I got one of your desk too.
And I don't think it should be controversial. It's the legislature established a state park south of Litchfield, north of Hutchinson, maybe 3 years ago or thereabouts. And there's $500,000 that's been set aside in a bonding bill 2-3 years ago to start buying land within this park. But after many meetings and a lot of time that's elapsed, it's been decided by, recommended by the DNR and others, that we change the name from a state park to a state recreation area. And in the meantime, there's 2 more pieces of land that have been purchased that should be part of this recreation area. There's one person that owns 16,000 feet of lakeshore. And these 2 additional parcels are two parcels that were not purchased prior to the start of the state park. We want to include those 2 parcels in the recreation area, get as part of the contiguous and continuous lakeshore. And then the bottom part of this amendment deals with a management plan and how that's going to be developed between the DNR and interested citizens in the area. So this is an amendment supported by the DNR and by those the county board in Litchfield and Meeker County Board of Commissioners and others.
Okay, we've got
the
A11 discussion.
It's Senator repealing Adler. Repealing the state park.
It's repealers,
yeah, Mr. Chair, I was just asking Senator Dill what the repealer was. I'm sorry if I missed that, but
what's the repealer, Senator Dill?
Mr. Chairman.
How about counsel? Yes, Mr.
Chairman, Senator Anderson, that's the current state park. What this amendment will do is going to convert this from a state park to a Greenleaf Lake Recreation, State Recreation Area. And so that's the state park subdivision, section 85.012 are our state parks, and 85.013 are our state recreation areas.
And Mr. Chair.
Senator Anderson.
I certainly support the amendment. I just was going to ask if there was any fiscal impact, and maybe I should just mention that we've concluded the whole bill's got to go to finance anyway. So. But do you know, does it cost anything to do this management plan?
Senator Dill.
Mr. Chair, Senator Anderson, I'm not aware of a cost on that, but there is $700,000 in Senator Langseth's bonding bill for Greenleaf State Park, which we hope we can get diverted into this, and that's $500,000 from before, so that's $1.2 million. Meeker County is putting in $300,000, and other groups may put in some additional money to get this thing off the ground.
Since this is going to finance, the fiscal note will affect this provision as well. Further discussion?
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Motion prevails. The amendment's adopted. Further discussion on the A1. Senator Olson.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question, because in looking over on page 33, Article 4, regarding acquisition of lands, I don't remember, was this a bill? There's an exception for some wildlife management areas to the whole review of an acquisition process. Could you?
Senator Olson, this was an amendment to Senator Saxhog's bill.
It was adopted.
It was adopted, and it was passed by the committee.
Can
which
you
day?
I may have missed that discussion, but why would you exempt just certain areas from that procedure rather than change if the procedure is bad? Why would we not change the procedure?
Senator Olson, I think changing the procedure for the entire state will be a much larger discussion. There would most certainly be opposition from a number of different regions in the state. I think this is narrowly crafted and does not affect the broad, the broader community.
So Mr. Chairman, are these all wildlife areas in one area or just one county?
That's correct.
Are they all the, Mr. Chairman, are they all the wildlife areas in that given county?
Yes.
Oh.
So, why would we do that?
Senator Olson, this
county doesn't want to have any wildlife areas or any more or any addition to them?
No. This would say that they can have additions to the wildlife management areas. This would not restrict
expansion. Mr. Chair, I'm saying the county would not have a say in whether there's any. Where the county has a voice in that, in this case, the county is excluded from that.
Correct. This goes back to the discussion we had regarding the Carlos Avery Wildlife Management Area, where there was a willing seller to the Department of Natural Resources to add on to wildlife management area, and upon the advice of the city, the county rejected that sale. So there was a willing landowner and a willing buyer, or willing seller and a willing buyer, and that was not allowed to go through because of the law. So this would just simply say that if someone wants to sell their property to the DNR, they can do that.
So Mr. Chairman, I remember a bit of that in clarification when we had when they were requesting PILT payments continuing to a city versus a township. That's when that discussion occurred? Or was there discussion around this, or was this a response to that discussion?
It was a response to that discussion. Senator Scogin?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move the A5 amendment. Take you to page 57, line 2. We'll put a period after met and delete without recommendation.
This is a written amendment as well.
Oh, okay.
The A5.
Page 57.
Members, this amendment reflects what this committee passed. This
Committee and the State and Local Government Committee passed. The two words without recommendation somehow got into this this document. I'm honestly not sure how, but so we're just reflecting the work of the two committees.
You mean by taking it out, Mr.
Correct.
Chair?
By taking
it out,
yes.
Thank you. For
thank you.
Confusing.
On the A5, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. The amendment's adopted. Okay, further discussion on the A1. Senator Stump.
A curious question on page 77 and page 78. There's a section in there on endocrine disruptor report.
Yes.
Can we direct the United States Environmental Protection Agency to be party to a report?
You're just asking them to consult.
I mean, we could ask them, but...
Senator Stump, the language says in consultation with that list of entities. So it would be the commissioner of the PCA that would be doing the report.
Mr. Chair, we're only directing the commissioner of the PCA to do something, and they have to at least pick up the phone and call the EPA. Okay. The EPA can choose to answer the telephone or not, I suppose.
Right.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, the other the thought I had when I was reading through this was on lines, and there's several lines like this, like 78.4. Yeah, is that we talk about the impact or significance to, it seems to me that we ought to have humans before fish and wildlife. I mean, it's just at first I looked at it and I thought, well, it should be, maybe it's alphabetical order. But that didn't pan out, so.
We just changed the alphabet.
I mean, I just think that, the obvious purpose was, you know, for all, but, you know, most of the time we think humans are one step above fish, but should be anyway. It's just a small.
Did you want to move to change the order?
I would, and it's on several lines. I just maybe have.
All right, so Senator Stump moves to where relevant, put the word humans before fish and wildlife. On that amendment, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. Amendment's adopted. Further discussion on the A1.
Mr. Chairman, I feel better already.
It's past the circle.
Do we need to do anything with those?
The new
Yeah, that's what we
decided.
It's easier than taking
the
pieces out.
It's an off-highway vehicle stuff. The off-highway vehicle.
Right. This is shoreland.
I know.
About the reason I studied fish.
Shoreland versus
sport. Oh, my kids are really
interested. They have room to take
a ride.
Just driving.
Yeah, I bet.
I don't think that. That's the one area that could be considered because you are exempting them.
Okay. All right.
So it'd be the off-highway. It would be the off-highway vehicles.
Okay.
Oh, forget it.
Is that the only one?
It's just that.
It should be
two.
Also, education.
I only see two places where it's humans are not first, but.
So how do we want to do that? Do we just want to? What do we find out about to copy that language onto Senate file?
Right. You may want to take your whole off-highway vehicle article over there. One of those two sections.
I don't want to de-interest you.
No, not Frederick.
No, I think we're just going to send it to
I don't think you have it. You could send the whole thing where you can take those two sections and insert them into the other bill and send them over to the other. And send this other bill to them.
Yep.
Okay.
All right, so it'll be a copy.
And some of the cases are
right. Members, this will explain, I explained this before, but Senate file
2040. I had put this on the agenda because there are a couple of areas in the bill that deal with state and local government committee issues that are that have not been heard by the state and local government. And so what council is recommending is that we take, and we'll go through what those are. We'll take those and copy those onto 2040 as a delete all and move that Senate file to state and local government. And then this bill will then go to finance. And so there will be kind of a dual track. And we've spoken with the state and local government committee, and they've indicated that they will be meeting again at some point, even though it's post-deadline, so that they can review other bills of this sort.
So, Mr. Chairman, you're not removing them from the bill.
Correct.
You're just duplicating them into the other bill for that
Correct.
Purpose. Thank you.
Correct. Mr. Knopf, do you want to tell us which areas those are?
Mr. Chairman, it would be Section 1 from – it's on page 9, Article 2, Section 1. And then it would be Article same article, Section 8, starts on page 13, the State Forest Traditional Areas. And then, Mr. Chairman, I think just to make it whole, there's a technical in Section 10 also that relates to that. That on 15.13, that subdivision 1 is a technical related to those changes in Section 1. So if what you could do is, and you don't want to take action now because we're acting on 1312, but after 1312 is dispensed with, then bringing up that bill, then you could just take sections 1, 8, and 10 from this as amended by the committee, because Section 8, of course, was amended, and then put those in as a delete everything amendment to the other Senate file.
Okay. All right. Any questions about that? It's kind of a administrative process action. All right. So is there any other discussion on the A1? Not. Do we want to have a motion on the A1?
Chairman, is this going to be introduced as a committee bill, or
no.
Do we have a vehicle?
What is the?
Mr. Chairman, this is done as a delete everything amendment to your 13. Bill, Senate File 1312. And this does match up with a House bill.
Yeah.
That's alive, as I understand it.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, I would move then that Senate File 1312 as amended be recommended for passage and referred to the Committee on Finance.
I think we need to adopt the A1 first, and then we can take that motion. So Senator Fredrickson will move adoption of the A1 amendment as amended. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. The amendment's adopted.
Mr. Chairman, I renew my motion that Senate File 1312 as amended be recommended for passage and referred to the Committee on Finance.
Okay. Everyone understand that motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you very much for your hard work on that, members. Throughout the entire session, and thank you to our staff that worked very hard, particularly through the Easter break, to make sure that we had this document. And then, of course, as legislators, we changed it all. So we appreciate your patience with us and the caucus staff,
as well as the
interns.
State and local.
So we're going to take up. Let's do 2040.
Oh.
Senate File 2040. We just need.
We'll make the motions.
Senator Fredrickson will move that amendment. Mr. Knopf, you just want to repeat the.
Mr. Chairman, I think I can just do it.
Oh, okay.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that Senate File 2040 be amended by deleting everything after the enacting clause and inserting into the bill the as amended from Article 2 of Senate File 1312, Sections 1, Sections 8, and Subdivision 1 of Section 10 as amended.
Mr. Chairman, I think you'd put all of Section 10.
All of Section 10, okay.
In the bill.
Okay.
And that would be as amended by committee, because there were some amendments to that.
All right. Does everyone understand what we're doing? Okay, seeing no further discussion, all those in favor of the amendment say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. The amendment's adopted. And so Senator Fredrickson will move that Senate file 2040 as amended be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on State and Local Government. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. We'll take Senator Pariseau next.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mine is the one that we passed 2 days ago, I believe, out of this committee, and it went to agriculture yesterday and was passed. It's a resolution memorializing Congress to reauthorize CRP program as they do the federal farm bill. So you have it in front of you, and it's a bunch of whereases that you we don't have to go through every one because we did it once a short time ago, and I ask that that be moved to the floor, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Any discussion? All those in favor of the motion, does this need to go to the floor or rules?
Rules.
Okay. I don't know.
I think all the resolutions have been
resolutions
going
go where they go. That's all I know. So you don't do them very often. So.
Senate file 1274. Senator Pariseau moves that Senate file 1274
sent to rules
be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Rules.
Yes.
Is there any discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails.
Chairman.
I put Senate file 1704 on the agenda in case, and this is up, this is the will of the committee, Senator Fredrickson. The discussion had come up yesterday about the Agriculture Committee and their ability to hear the agriculture portions, the former agriculture portions of this bill, which I was not pursuing. It just kind of popped in my head that we could put this Senate file on this agenda, on the agenda, and amend only the agriculture portions of the wetlands bill that we passed out of this committee onto that as a delete all and refer to the Committee on Agriculture. It's totally up to you if folks were concerned about the Agriculture Committee hearing the agriculture provisions of the wetland bill, which we are not pursuing in my bill, but if they still want to, we can do that. It's totally up to you, but we have this option if you want to proceed with it. Senator Dill.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think we should do that, and I don't know how it'll all work out in Senator Vickerman's committee and with the heavy schedule we got next week on the floor and so forth, but I think just to keep it alive and as an option, I think we should do that.
Okay. Senator Vickerman. All right. So we've got the there's a with the amendment.
Three other sections.
So this is the A2 amendment. Senator Vickerman will move the A2 amendment. This is all of the agriculture provisions that passed of the wetlands bill that passed this committee as well as state and local government. And it is the and it is also all of the agriculture provisions in Senate file 1311 that are in that are with the Agriculture Committee at the moment.
It's 1137. Well.
1137, excuse me. So is there any discussion? On the A2 amendment, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. The amendment's adopted. So Senator Vickerman will move that Senate file 1704 be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Agriculture. Is there any discussion? I think there are a lot of provisions here that I think were beneficial to the Agriculture Committee in terms of flexibility in wetlands, and this was part of a lengthy stakeholder process even before session began, and I think they deserve consideration. So if any more discussion, all those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. So that will take care of today's agenda. Thank you very much, members. Senator Vickerman.
1472, Senator Kublitz, what happens to that?
Senator Vickerman, we heard the bill and we laid it over. Excuse me, we heard the bill and we amended it to the omnibus bill.
He's not here, and I just...
He was here, and he was here right after recess, and he presented his bill. Yeah. And it was passed as it was. There were no amendments. Okay, committee's adjourned.